Well, we're going to read God's Word this morning from Romans chapter 8. We started there last Lord's Day. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that is, through our flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. We end our reading there, and we trust that the Lord Himself will take up His Word that He has given so long ago, yet preserved so faithfully in its transmission and bringing it to us today. We trust that He will bring it to our hearts with power. Our verse for meditation today is the second verse. And that is, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. God is so absolutely wise that He has even made this life in a fallen world to be a means of comfort to His people. Now that is a comfort for His people, even life in a fallen world. Because of sin, death entered into this world. And even godly people must die. But God gives His people special comfort in times of sorrow. We sorrow not as others that have no hope. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And I would dare say that every family here today are beneficiaries and heirs of wonderful families that have saved for your sake and preserved for your sake. So when a good man dies, even though there's much sadness at the loss, there is some consolation when he leaves an inheritance to his family. Hebrews 9:16 tells us of a man who made his will or his last testament. And here's what the verse says, Hebrews 9:16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, the one who has made that last testament or last will. It is speaking of the best man that there ever has been, our Lord Jesus Christ. For He fulfilled His Father's will, which necessitated Christ's own death for us. And now the Holy Spirit is the executor of the will. The Holy Spirit that's spoken of in the second verse is the executor of the divine estate. And what is He doing? He is gathering the heirs today, and He is distributing the inheritance. What a gracious inheritance it is. In so doing, the Holy Spirit is applying all of the merits and all of the benefits of Christ's obedient life and His redeeming cross work to His heirs, the heirs of salvation. Now, our text Romans 8:2 tells us of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, this is sort of unusual language. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But the apostle has been using such terminology already in Romans. So in this verse 2, there are several things that we need to see. Number one, the description of this law. The description of this law. Secondly, the dominion of this law. And thirdly, the deliverance of this law. You see that, what it says there? For we are freed from the law of sin and death. So we come first to the description of this law. You see what it's called? The law of the Spirit of life. Not a term you would use every day. This law stands in sharp contrast to the other law spoken of in the verse, the law of sin and death. We have been for a long time in Romans studying the law's inability to justify or to save us. The law is not able to justify or save sinners. We have also seen that the law by itself, the law alone, does not have the power to sanctify us without the special energizing ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. How then can the law be described as being joined to the Spirit of life? Now, the Spirit of life is none other than the Holy Spirit, the third person of the eternal Trinity. He is life. We read in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Literally, the Spirit is the one who gives life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of regeneration. He is the regenerator. He is the one that gives the new birth. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit who washes, regenerating, giving new life. It is the Holy Spirit who renews. Where there was only spiritual death, there is life put by the Spirit. Romans 3:27 then goes on to speak about the law. The law of faith. Now that's the law that we're dealing with here. It is a spiritual law. The law of faith. You see what the language is in verse 2? For the law of the Spirit of life. It is synonymous with the law of faith. Being justified by faith and not by mere human good works. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Where in the world would we get faith? The Bible is clear. Not all men have faith. The Scripture literally says, not all have faith. Now, faith is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works faith into us. The Holy Spirit produces faith in us, or we would never have it. This law of the Spirit of life is a part of the reign, the law, or the covenant of grace. Romans 5:21 speaks of grace reigning. Now, death reigned, but now grace reigns. The Holy Spirit is Himself life. If you looked at Romans chapter 8 there, look down at verse 10. You see that? Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is life Himself. He brings eternal life into our soul. Where the law of covenant works failed, this law of the Spirit of life is completely successful and triumphs. This law is called the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1, verse 25. It is indeed the law of life and the law of liberty. Our Westminster Confession of Faith, if you have the big thick one, it's in there. I'll tell you where it is. It's in the section in the back known as the sum of saving knowledge. And it comments on this very verse. And I want to tell you what they say. Commenting on Romans 8:2, in that section, it equates the law of sin and death to the covenant of works. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it equates to the covenant of grace. Now, I believe that what's being spoken of here in the first part of the verse is the covenant of grace. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from what? That law, the covenant of works, the law of sin and death. Matthew Henry wrote, now this is very interesting. Matthew Henry said, Moses, representing the covenant of works and the law, could not bring Israel into the promised land. Did you remember that? Moses, representing the covenant of works, could not bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Only Joshua, whose very name in Greek is Jesus, representing Christ and the covenant of grace, only Joshua could bring them in to the promised land. And the only way into the promised land of heaven is not through the covenant of works at our hand, but it is through the covenant of grace. Praise God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Now that's the first point, the description of that law. Now we turn to its dominion. The law of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, is in Christ Jesus. There's our union. It's going right back and commenting on verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's being in Christ. It's being in union with Him by this God-given faith. We have a union with Christ. So here, the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. This is the domain or the dominion of this law. Under Adam's headship, all of us came to death and sin. But under Christ's headship is breathed the Holy Spirit and life everlasting through Christ's headship. Believers are no longer under Adam's headship. Now, let me say that again. Believers are no longer viewed by God as under the headship of Adam. Rather, we are viewed by God under the headship of Christ. We are no longer afar off, but in Christ we are made nigh to God. Now, how do we get into Christ? How do we get into this union with Christ? It is the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, if you read the verse right above that, in verse 12, it speaks of many members being one body. So also is Christ. We are brought by the Holy Spirit, baptized by Him, into Christ. Christ is the King of His kingdom. The Holy Spirit works as a servant to Christ. What is He doing? I said early in the message, today He is gathering together Christ's subjects and setting them free. John 8:36, those that Christ makes free are free indeed. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. Without Him, there would be no grace. There would be no salvation for the Holy Spirit to apply to the elect. The work of Christ is absolutely necessary for the law of life. The law of the Spirit of life It is only in Christ Jesus. It is our union with Christ, being in Him, that has freed us. Now, I tell you the literal language there of verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus freed me. It is the aorist tense, the strongest past Greek tense. And it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that freed me from the law of sin and death. So we come lastly to look at this deliverance from the law. It has been affected by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Has delivered us from that other law, the law of sin and death. The law from which believers are freed once and for all is the law of sin and death. This was the covenant of works. Literally, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus freed me from the law of sin and death. Because of our sinfully depraved fallen natures, we could not keep the law of works. Now that needs to really sink down into our hearts, because every one of us by nature are merit mongers. All of us by nature are looking for some credit. Hey, I'm a good dude, so recognize that and praise me because I'm good. Now that's human nature. Okay. But we realize that because of our fallen natures, we could not fulfill the law of works, the covenant of works. Sin reigned unto death, and did so through the law. There was nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us, with our sinful nature. Romans 5:21, sin hath reigned unto death. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. The wages of our sin. The moral law given to Moses is called the ministration of death and the ministration of condemnation. Now listen, that was the law given to Moses. You read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What is Paul saying? It was a glorious thing. Even as there was the brightness and the smoke and the fire upon Mount Sinai. But the gospel, this wonderful covenant of grace, is far more glorious than all of that covenant of works. Now listen, the moral law given by Moses is called in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7 and verse 9, the ministration of death, the ministration of condemnation. But we have been delivered from that death and condemnation by what? By the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The believer's sinful guilt is all gone. And sin's dominion and tyranny is finished. It's over for us. And so is the message. So we come to the conclusion. The purpose of the apostles' repetition of this doctrine of justification is for what? To help us to absolute and full assurance of our salvation. Why does he repeat this over and over again? Verse 2 is a further explanation of verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are freed forever from the law of sin, from the law of death, from the law of condemnation. This great doctrine of justification by faith alone is under constant and relentless attack. Where is that doctrine under constant and relentless attack? Number one, in our own hearts, in our own consciences. Now think about this. There is always within a redeemed child of God the tendency to rely upon our supposed goodness or good works. Have you ever sensed that in yourself? There's the tendency to get our minds off of Christ and to get our eyes upon what a good job we're doing. Yeah, we're pretty good. I mean, this is great. Let's think about ourselves instead of thinking about Him. No, that's where we go wrong. And of course, Satan and the world, and even so much of the church world, always promote systems of human merit. We started this morning thinking about the Heavenly Father's eternal will to give us a glorious inheritance, the Son's necessary atoning death to purchase that inheritance. And now, we think of this wonderful office of the Holy Spirit as the executor of the marvelous estate that God gives to the heirs of grace. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is this very day gathering the heirs and is distributing to the heirs this awesome inheritance. So here's the point of the message. Have you, by the Holy Spirit, been gathered to Christ as an heir? Has the inheritance of eternal life been distributed to you? Now, I am not asking you, are you living victoriously? I am not asking you if you are a perfect person. Do you think you'll ever be able to reach perfection in this life? I don't enjoy disappointing people, but let me tell you, you will never in this life reach sinless perfection. But I am asking you this. Have you been gathered to Christ as an heir by the Holy Spirit? Has the inheritance of eternal life been distributed to you? This is the work of the law of the Spirit of life. He is the executor of Christ's glorious estate, our inheritance. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let us pray together. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We praise Thee that Thy word is truth. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt take Thy holy word and impress it upon our hearts. It's so easy for us to forget Thee, to naturally move away from this central doctrine of the Christian faith, the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Lord, give us help by Thy Spirit, who is the very Spirit of life. We pray in Jesus' ever-precious name. Amen.